Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Hello, my friends. Today on the podcast, we are changing up our format a bit. I've invited two of my dearest friends to a roundtable discussion. We are talking about building friendship and what that looks like in midlife, which is something many women requested as a topic of discussion on my midlife survey. You'll hear a reference to our potluck and prayer group that we've had for over 4 years. Stick around until the end, and I'll give you tips to start your own potluck and prayer group. And I'll tell you what's coming up next week, too. But before we dive into the episode today, let me remind you that in a few weeks, we'll be hearing from Dr. Anna Kabeka, aka the Girlfriend Doctor. She's a certified OBGYN. So send your menopause questions and we'll see about getting them answered on the show. Submit them to me at www.midlifecrescendo.com. Now, let me introduce you to my guests. Paula McCullough has been married over 43 years to her husband, Paul. She has 2 adult children and 1 granddaughter. She is an award-winning Christian country artist, including Female Artist of the Year and New Artist of the Year awards. She is an avid traveler and enjoys listening to and writing music. She enjoys daily Pilates and bar classes and walking her puppy, Hope. Her love of reading fills up her spare time with particular interests in nonfiction history and biblical studies with an emphasis in Bible prophecy. Cheryl Allen has been married 36 years to her husband, Lyndon, has 4 adult children and 2 grandchildren. She ministers alongside her husband presenting marriage seminars at churches called I Do for Life. One of her favorite activities is horseback riding, though she doesn't get to do it enough. She loves spending her spare time with her family and enjoys vacationing at the beach. It's time for Chick Chat. Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about friendship midlife, and I have some very special guests here with me today. They are 2 of my dearest friends, Paula McCullough and Cheryl Allen. And we've been friends for a varying degree of years. Paula and I go back, more than 30 years before Derek and I had children. And Cheryl, I think it's been, 6 years maybe that we've known each other, about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to welcome both of you to the podcast today.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Me too.
Paula and Cheryl and I have become a trio of friends, though, over the years. We each have our individual friendship, but we become a little band where we hang out a lot together in life.
We're all 3 Musketeers.
There you go. We are all in the midlife season. And as I did my survey over a year ago, one of the topics that came up really high on things that you midlife women wanted to talk about was building midlife friendship, because many of you have expressed that you're lonely and it's hard to build midlife friendship. Specifically, I think that once we move past our years where when we move into empty nest and we're not doing all the activities with our kids and we're in proximity to our kids' friends' parents, that sometimes we have to regroup on how we develop our friendships and how we maintain them midlife. I want to know how midlife friendship has been important to you in your life.
Well, I think I got through midlife, which I'm a little past midlife now. I'm a little girls. And, you know, I think that there's so many physiological changes that go on in midlife. Obviously, menopause, perimenopause, menopause. They affect us a lot mentally, and we change as people because we've lived a lot more life, and our kids have left home typically or are leaving, and there's just a lot of stuff that goes on in midlife. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of marriages get in trouble midlife, because there's things that happen in both individuals, both the male and the female. But we're talking about what happens in women. And I found that when I hit menopause and maybe pre-menopause, you know, there's a lot of emotional turmoil as well, because you realize your clock is ticking, your time is running out, and the goals and things you had for yourself are a little more difficult to achieve or impossible at this point, and you have to reinvent yourself. And it can be done, but you have to really pray through that. Well, my faith is really a big thing that got me through, and most of my really close friendships are people of the same faith, and so we have that bond in common. And that's what the three of us have in common, is our faith, and we are able to pray together, which is so important, because we always come away feeling better because we've given it over to God, and there's others that are empathizing with what we're going through. So for me, in midlife, I just hit a place where I had a lot of emotional distress, and I had a very good friend, another long-term friend. Debbie's my longest-term friend in Nashville, other than Joyce, who was my songwriting partner for many years. And we were very, very close in the fact that I could tell her anything, she could tell me anything, and it was super confidential. And I think it's so important to have somebody, which I can do with Debbie too, to vent to, because they know your history. Uh-huh. And that you don't mean a lot of it, but you're just so frustrated. And we could talk about our husbands who we love to death, but you know, we uh-huh. get then. And it's so important as females to have the type of friends that will keep a confidence. And I've been really blessed in my life to have that. And a lot of it is grounded, I think, because we're believers and we have a very similar viewpoint, which is a biblical world viewpoint, and we have a lot of the same goals for our family. So for me, that was my midlife thing, and I got through it, and thank God, because they talk you off the ledge, your friends, when you're mm-hmm. about to do something stupid or just act stupid and mess mm-hmm. up your marriage and mess up your relationship with your kids, because there's a lot of frustrations with kids at that point, because you mm-hmm. want to control them, but mm-hmm. you've got to let them go because they're yeah. adults now. And that's another thing that's really tough when you're kind of in that in-between where you haven't quite settled in yet, to letting them be their own people and make mm-hmm. their mistakes a lot. You have to yeah. let them. And so
I always say raising young children is physically taxing, but having adult children is emotionally taxing. And that's when you really need friends. You need to be able to, like, you know, your kids are going through breakups, they're going through possible divorces, they're going through job changes, all these things, you know, and you just want your friends there to bounce things off, like, and give you encouragement, pray with you, because, you know, as we all know, a mom is only as happy as her unhappiest child. You know? And that's true. We just, you know, and we need each other to encourage each other when our kids are struggling too.
Yeah.
My child is behaving. I have a puppy. Oh. And just like a toddler, when you get on a call, you know, that's when they want to play.
Act up.
I took her bone away, and now, okay, Hope, you're going to have to go in your time out. Yeah.
But Debbie, you mentioned, you know, your kids' friends, and I think that, like, a place to start too, because there was something obviously there with your kids' friends. Maybe they were in sports or, you know, theater or whatever that common activity was that your kids did that brought you together. That's a common place to start for someone who's struggling. Go back to those people and, you know, cultivate that friendship, because there was something there in the beginning. It was your kids, but there might still be more to draw from in those people, in those relationships. And that's, you know, we had all of our kids did different things, but we always had those parents that were for basketball or gymnastics or whatever. And we're still friends with a lot of them, you know, and it's, it does take intentionality. And I had lunch with, you know, one of the moms just the other day. And it's good because we're all in that same place where our kids are now grown and gone. And we just, it gives us an opportunity to not just receive from our friends, but to give too, because I don't want to always just receive. I want to be able to pour into a relationship as well.
And encourage people.
Yeah. Yeah.
No good point.
I think that the big key in that is frequently our friendships when we're younger are built on proximity and kind of ease, because we're just in groups of people often when we're mm-hmm. young and we're in school ourselves. We've got people around us. And so it's easier to make friendships. And then when we become adults, we get married, we have kids, or in our jobs, if we're not married, mm-hmm. We have friendships with the women or the men that are around us, you know, because we work and we have this common bond with them and camaraderie because we're doing this particular activity together, even mm-hmm. if it's a 9-to-5 job, or at church where we build relationships. Although if you're in a huge church and you're not in a small group, you don't get to meet people on an individual relationship so that you can build a friendship. So that's a danger there with some of the bigger churches. And I go to one, and you must have intentionality. And that was my point. At mm-hmm. this point in our lives, midlife, we are balancing a lot of things. We might have empty nests, but we also now might have grandchildren. We might have aging parents that we're caring for. We may be still working or retiring and getting out of a job. We may have a lot of volunteer work. It takes a lot of intentionality to maintain mm-hmm. friendships at this age, because you probably don't have the same proximity to the people that were in your circle as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
True. And a transient world. And things are changing all the time, and people are moving, and situations are different. So you don't have always the same people to go back to. They might have moved to a different state, or they're in, maybe they're working a job and they're super busy and you're working from home, or you don't work anymore. So there's all these things that come into play with friendships, and you could still pick up the phone and you can have a good conversation with that person, but it's not an every day or every week cultivating that happens, and that's just natural. But there needs to, I've always just had 1, 2, 3 at the most really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And those friends have been a lifetime friendships until they, what I've had 2 friends pass away. And that's the other thing you start facing. The more you get into and past midlife, it's very tough because you lose the people that have your history. So you have to be intentional, like Debbie said, about building history with new people. And that can be very enriching too, because you're getting out of your comfort zone and you're learning over again how to cultivate a close relationship, because, you know, it's something that doesn't come, you get rusty at, because you just take those old friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how has having close friends impacted your life? Is there any specific example or that you would want to share about how it has made a difference? Like Paula, you shared earlier, just getting through menopause and the years of change with menopause, how having friends around you walking through that season, which I think is really important as women. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important as we go through these shifts and changes that we do have other women around us to share in that, so that we can talk about these things, because it's a lot of change. And I know that I have friends who have gone through losing their parents, especially helping serve them or take care of them during dementia. That's been difficult. And how having friends around them to support them as they're walking through that difficult season has mm-hmm. made a huge impact. And I think as we are walking through our life, as our parents age, but even as we lose a spouse, I have friends who have lost spouses. And these are the things that we don't necessarily have to think about all the time. Obviously, that's depressing to talk about losing a spouse, losing your parents, but they are realities that we need to face. And our friendships change and help us as we walk through these difficult seasons, if we have those friends around us that we can trust and that do have our history and that we can really be honest with. And I think those are some of the key things. You have to have friends that are trustworthy.
Yes.
You have to have friends that can see you at your worst as well as your best and mm-hmm. still be your friend. And then I think the spiritual aspect for us, I know, has been huge, just being able to pray for one another and support each other spiritually through those seasons. Cheryl, do you have anything you want to share about that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, our potluck and prayer has been our lifeline. And we have met now, what, every week? I mean, here and there we miss, obviously, but it's pretty consistent every week before COVID, right?
Over like, 4 years. It's been over four years.
And that has been a lifeline. I know all of us have benefited from that. And that's just, you know, the six of us and every week. And it is a lifeline for, we've walked through business failures. We've walked through children's, you know, relationship failings. We've walked through all kinds of stuff together. Mm-hmm. And we've been there for each other. We've been there with each other. And we've prayed for each other. And we've seen God answer prayer. Like, we praise God together. We eat together. We just fellowship. We just really are there walking together. And that is, it's crucial. It really is crucial.
Yeah. And we've even walked through deaths and births together.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
The birth of our grandchildren. We've all been able to share in that. And then, but we've also had loss that we've all been able to encourage and walk alongside each other with the losses that we've had. And some of them have been very unexpected.
Yeah, no, it's been a lifeline.
Well, we're very fortunate that we are able to be friends as couples and as men uh-huh. and separate, like our guys are somewhere today together watching ball games, and they can bond and fellowship, and then we enjoy each other's company. But it is rare to find three couples that all of us like uh-huh. each other.
Yeah. True. You know,
been very blessed in that. But also, I think certain commonalities bring people together, like Debbie's friends that are widowed. It's important to introduce people that you think might be able to have a friendship. And I know Debbie's a really good connector. And I think we actually connected y'all.
You did?
Because we knew Debbie and Derek, and then we knew Lyndon and Cheryl. And that's been really, I think we all need to think about being those people that can connect people. My husband's a natural connector. He just loves to help people and connect people. And I think, I know y'all are too, and your husband. So that's really helpful. So any of them listening to the show, that their gift is really connecting people, that's important. And keep doing it, because there's people that don't know how to step out because they're extremely shy or timid about approaching people. So they need somebody to take them by the hand and introduce them. If they could just set a lunch date or have them over to the house for coffee or tea or something, because there's a lot of people that are really lonely and they don't know how to step out of that. And that's a ministry. So we should be always aware of those people. I tend to be a loner. I'm not really that outgoing. I'm fine once I'm out, but I'm not a big joiner. I'm not a person that gets out. My career has made me step out because I was in the music industry and singing and, you know, meeting people, writing songs. So that kind of got me out, and I'm comfortable doing that. But I was never a real social person, but I love to be with people, but more small group. But that's just, everybody's so different. So we need to be sensitive to those that need a little help getting out, or encouraging, come on, go to the show with me, or come here and do this, because they wouldn't do it on their own.
Right.
I think been really good about that.
Yes, she is. Yes.
Yeah, you've been really good about that.
Also, don't look at age, because like y'all are 7-8 years younger than me. And I've always had friends in every age category. So a lot of my friends were older. My really good friend I mentioned a while ago was 13 years older than me. So age is not a barrier. And you might be able to mentor somebody younger, but they can pour into you and open up new things. We shouldn't live in an echo chamber. We should have friends of different walks of life, including non-Christian friends, because I've benefited from people that taught me a lot that weren't even believers.
Also, I want to mention single women, married women, divorced women, and widowed women, because I think that sometimes it's easy. Like, we're all married, our kids, we're all empty nesters. Mm-hmm. But sometimes now I have friends in all of those categories, because I mean, and I'm not necessarily intentional about having certain amount of friends. It's not like a quota thing. It just happened because I'm very intentional about building relationships with a lot of different women that I happen to have all of those categories within my friendships, but specifically single women, and being able to encourage them as well, because most of them don't want to be single. And when you're midlife and single, it's really hard because the world feels like it's built around couples. And so I think it's really important for all of us just to be mindful of that, and also inviting single women to coffee or lunch or whatever it is. But I think that's the key. And I think that's something we've talked about today, is intentionality, having courage to invite people to have coffee or lunch, finding commonality. We found commonality in our faith. But even if you find commonality in a hobby, if you enjoy a particular hobby, I want to encourage you to join a group and then find women who also enjoy that hobby.
Right.
And then you can build a relationship or a friendship that way. I have found that that's been very beneficial in my life over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I have several single friends. Two of them are divorced. And one of them particularly is interested in history. So she's members of a couple of different groups, and she has a very full life and a lot of friendships. And she's tried the dating pool and said, oh, it's terrible. I'm fine. I'm not, you know. And then I have two friends that I work out with at the Y, and they're both widows. And, you know, there's a group of those widows, and they're not old. I mean, they're in their 60s. To me, that's not old, because that's me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're almost there. We're right behind you. Not old. It's not old.
No, it's young.
Isn't that amazing how that happens? The definition of old just changes.
That's true. It's moving up. 60 is the new 40.
Exactly.
Well, as we wrap up our conversation on friendship, is there any else that you'd like to add?
Cheryl?
You know, I literally, I have probably three people, you two and maybe one other, where I just really feel like, okay, I can, plus my sisters, you know, I love my sisters. And that's true too. Like, if you have family, especially, man, during this time of the empty nest, because a lot of times, a lot of families, which ours was one, our sisters, my sisters and I were busy raising our kids in different states, you know, so we weren't the super closest when we were raising our kids. But as our kids all got older and grew and moved away, we looked at each other and we're like, you are my family. So you are, I'm going to make you one of my best friends, you know? So that's important too. Look back to your family and your siblings and really make that connection, because that really is important. Your family is your family forever. Yeah. friends can come and go, but your family is forever. So that would, I'd say one thing is just looking back to your family. But I mean, I also just a couple of people and just having that, that really intimate, able to just call you at a moment. Like we keep in touch, the three of us, with texting. Hey, I'm having a really bad day today. Pray for me. My, you know, my son, my daughter, you know, whatever, like, pray for me. I need you right now. I may not have time to talk on the phone, but I need you right now. And we're always there for each other. And just, and then we'll follow up. Hey, how did it turn out? What's going on? But keeping that connection and that line going is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. My sister is 8.5 years older, but she's a really close friend as well. And she was sort of a second mom growing up, but now we're more friends because that happens when you're both adults. So that's a good point, Cheryl. Our families are there for friendship as well as being family.
Yeah.
Well, I could talk to you all afternoon, but you have to, but everybody doesn't want to hear that. So we're going to wrap up our conversation today, but thank you so much for not only being such dear, dear friends, but also for our conversation today. I appreciate having you.
Thank you, Debbie. You're amazing. Your listeners are very blessed that you're on air.
Yes, she definitely.
And don't edit that out.
Well, I second that opinion and that fact, because Debbie has a real gift of connecting people, and she has a real love for people and the gift of what we call in biblical circles, the gift of mercy. And that's why she has friends from every circle of life and every, you know, single and otherwise. So thank you for having us.
I hope you enjoyed my roundtable chick chat with Paula and Cheryl. God definitely created us to do life in community, but in this season, with sometimes less than regular proximity to our friends, it sometimes takes more intentionality if we want to develop deeper friendship. We mentioned in the episode that the three of us have grown closer through our potluck and prayer group, and I said I'd tell you more about that. It is exactly as it sounds. Over 4 years ago, it was Paula who brought up the idea of meeting as couples weekly to have a meal and pray together. We were all involved in our churches and Bible studies, but what we were missing and longing for was meaningful connection and conversation about all the things happening in the world and in our lives through the lens of faith. All six of us were already friends, but this weekly meetup brought our friendship to a deeper level. We know each other's families and walk alongside each other through all the ups and downs of life, instead of just once in a while catch-ups. This is an invitation to community. You can start one. If you're single, ask two or three friends. If you are married, ask two or three couples. Ask the people you like and trust and see if there's an interest. You can meet once or twice a month. It doesn't have to be every week. The key, though, is consistency, and everyone contributes to the meal, thus the potluck. We also switch up houses. Whoever's house we meet at provides the entree, and the other two couples provide the sides. We've also ordered dinner locally and just shared the cost. You don't even have to have a meal. You can just meet for coffee. But sharing unhurried conversation is a gift worth pursuing. If you have any questions for starting your own potluck and prayer group, you can contact me at midlifecrescendo.com, or you can go to our Instagram page at midlifecrescendo and DM me there. Okay, friends, that's it for today. Next week on Midlife Crescendo, we are talking about building deeper connection in relationships. Remember, please share this podcast with other midlife women who could use some encouragement. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the podcast and review it wherever you listen. And if you have left a review, please enter our contest. We are giving away prizes right now through February 5th. If you want to enter or see the prizes, hey, some of those prizes include chocolate. Go to midlifecrescendo.com or visit our Instagram page at midlifecrescendo for all the details. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.